when David was in a bad situation. You know, when folk tried to kill you, that's a bad situation. He was in a bad situation. And the Lord says, the Bible says that David encouraged himself. And every now and then, when things are not going exactly the way we want. And I wonder if that's anybody else's testimony, that sometimes things don't always go the way we want. And when things are falling through the cracks, it's an opportunity for us to encourage ourselves. Where? In the Lord. Amen. Because when you encourage yourself in the Lord, the Lord will remind you his promise that I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you always, even until the end of all time. Thank you, praise and worship team. Let's give them some love. Amen. Thank y'all for being here. Amen. Recovering from your turkey coma. Amen. I make the promise every year that I'm not going to eat too much. This year I didn't even make the promise. I just went on and whatever. Amen. This is on. Praise the Lord. So, but we thank God that you all have enjoyed your time together with family and had an opportunity to pause and thank God for his many blessings. Is that anybody else's testimony that you can thank God for his many blessings? Doesn't mean that things are perfect, but when you look in context of where you used to be, I wish I had some witnesses here, where you used to be and where God has you now, amen. Oh, I'm blessed. So we praise God. Let us pray. Father, we honor you and bless your name. Thank you for the privilege that is ours to be in your presence. That's what happens when we are in worship. We are in your presence, putting your name on blast, lifting you up on high. We thank you for that privilege, God, and we honor your name, and thank you, God, that you will guide this time, anoint this vessel, God, for your glory and for your purpose. We thank you now, God, that you will counsel every distraction of the enemy, God, and let your word go forth with power and conviction, that we will not just be hearers of your word, but doers also, and that even some person who is far from you, who maybe even doesn't know you, never invited you into their lives, would even ask the question, what must I do to be saved? And when all is said and done, we'll give you and you alone the honor, the glory, and the praise that's due only you. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We want to conclude our series on living generously. Living generously. We've talked about in living generously, giving yourself. Well, that means you give of yourself. You give everything that is about you so that the power of God, that the word of God might grow richly, not only in your lives, but in the lives of others. Last week we talked about giving to the needs of the poor. God says that there will always be poor among us. But the beauty of that text is that Jesus says that every time we give to the poor, the Lord will bless us in everything that we do. In other words, God says, I leave poor people with you so that you can be a blessing to them, so I can keep blessing whatever you do. Oh, that's a good time to say thank you, Lord. He didn't say, I'm going to let you bless one group of poor people and then that'll be it. But he said, the poor going to always be. Life going to happen in the widows and orphans and things happen so that they're going to always be poor among you. And today I want to talk about giving generously. And it is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 8 through 15. And if truth be told, all of us have the capacity to give generously. How do I know? Matter of fact, everybody, especially in America, has the capacity to give generously because there was a whole lot of folk on Thanksgiving night and on Black Friday, giving generously for TVs, new phones. They were pushing and shoving, and I can't do that. But I give generously in another way, because I give generously to the things of God. Why? Because when I think of God's generosity to you and to me, that when I was far from Him, He gave His very best gift, being His Son, so that we, you and I, could be in relationship with Him forever. That speaks boldly and mightily in my heart, because it lets me know that when we give, and when we give generously, we are imitating who God is. We're imitating that God wants to give us the very best, and He showed it from the very beginning. So He wanted to be in relationship with you and me, and He gave from the very beginning. Let's look at Genesis real quick. I mean, enough, I'm talking about Genesis. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, starting with the 6th verse, and I'm skipping some verses, but just mark this in your Bible. Remember, a farmer, New Living Translation, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need, and then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, He will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. Now, somebody said we can't leave God out of it. Amen. I know sometimes we give and sometimes we expect something immediately in response, but God says that we ought to be generous anyway, whether we get anything back or not. I want to leave with you five quick principles of why you and I should give generously. Point one is, give generously because God blesses your generosity. Give generously because God blesses your generosity. It's right there in the text. And He uses an illustration in verse 6 that they in that time could understand, because all of them were farmers that did some type of farm or understood agricultural work back then. Now, I know most of us are citified and we don't work on the farm, ain't thinking about working on the farm. Back then, this was understood. He says that when a farmer goes to plant seeds, if he wants a big crop, he doesn't plant just a few seeds. In order for him to experience a major harvest, he has to plant all of his seed. In other words, he doesn't just plant. If he got all the seed, he buys all the seed, he doesn't plant a little and hope for a big harvest and leave some on the shelf saying, I'm just going to hold this just in case. No, it's by faith that he takes the risk. He said, I'm going to plant all my seed and trust that if I do what I'm supposed to do, if I till the land and I plant on good soil, that at my increase, my harvest, that if all the other conditions are right, I'm going to get a generous harvest. And that is the same way that God is telling you and I, that if we are generous in our giving, God will bless us in likewise. Look what verse 6 looks like in the Amplified. He says, remember this, he who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly. But he who sows generously, now this is the part that should bless you. When you and I are sowing generously, it's so that blessings may come to someone. In other words, it's just as being and modeling ourselves like God, that when you and I give generously, it's so that blessings can come to somebody else. In other words, we don't just have ourselves on our radar. We're not giving so that we can give. We're giving so that God can bless somebody else through how he has blessed us. In other words, we want to be a channel of blessing for God. So he said that when you are giving generously, the blessings that may come to you will also reap generously and with blessings. So when you and I are a blessing to someone else, we let God know that he can trust us. He can trust us with blessings. He doesn't have to worry about us being stingy. Amen, somebody. Amen. That he can trust us with the blessings. That he can cause the windows of heaven to open up, and he can pour us our blessings that we will not have room enough to receive. Why? Because he knows we're not going to hoard them and try to keep them for ourselves. So when we give generously, it's because God blesses our generosity. Secondly, we give generously because God has put it in our heart to give. We give generously because God has put it in your heart to give. Verse 7a says, you must each make up your own mind as to how much you should give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. You know, I know some, I've heard, I don't know this, I've never been in a ministry where they collected your W-2s to find out how much you made so they could figure out if you were tithing accordingly. I don't think I would want to be a part of a church that policed my income, because really my giving is really between me and God. Yes. Amen. Because he's the one, since it all belongs to him, he knows what it is. So look, if I'm going to cheat God, that means I'm going to cheat in every other way. So if God can't trust me with the resources that he gives me, then I can't expect him to trust me with any more. In other words, I don't have to give reluctantly. I can't, well, I don't know what they're going to do. No, I pray about it. That's why even when we sow and give to other people, we do so in prayer. That way when we get a release from God, we can give, we can sow, and not worry about, in other words, not worry about if they're going to do the right thing or if people trying to hush you. Because you can tell when people trying to hush you. Hush you. Hustle. Did I say that? Hustle you. Amen. I think I mentioned that when I pastored in D.C., I probably have heard every story. Sometimes in very creative ways, towards the people, you know, I mean, I'm not saying they didn't need the money, but if they just told me the truth, you know what, I quit my job and I ain't got no money right now. I might have been better with them. Well, this guy told me, well, I just got here from Jamaica. And I was, and this is but this is the truth. This is the story he said. I just got here from Jamaica and we was at the bus station. My wife had a diabetic attack, I think it was diabetic attack. And they took her to the hospital, and I don't have any money to pay the hospital bill. I went over to the mayor's office, but they couldn't help me. And so now I came by your church. And I'm thinking, now, I know where the bus station is. I know where the hospital is. I know where the mayor's office is. Now, the mayor's office is not between the hospital and the bus station. Amen. And our church was not between the hospital and the bus station. Amen. And he could have been telling the truth, but his story didn't line up. Now, I said, this is all I got. This ain't going to help you pay no bill, because this is all I got. I got a release to give it to him, because I sensed he was in need. But sometimes there were people who were on drugs and doing all other kind of things, and I didn't get a release to give it to him. Why? Because I'm praying. That's why Jesus says that man ought to always be in prayer, so that you can discern what is the good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Because when you and I give the resources that God has trusted into our care, we want to be good stewards. The Amplified version of that Corinthians verse says, let each one give as he had made up in his own mind, purpose in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion. In other words, when I give, I get a release, so I'm not sorrowful about it. I'm not hesitant about it. I know what that's why I asked him, okay, well, let me get back with you. Why? Because I need time to pray. You know, amen. Now, when I go to the store, you know, I'm not like some people. Notice I didn't name any gender or anything. Some people go to go shopping, and they have to go to every store to end up back where they started, amen, to purchase what they go. When I find out, when I hunt and figure out exactly what it is, I don't know what it is with me, but I'm a hunter. I'm going to capture whatever it is in the store. I'm going one place, amen. I done checked all the other places. I done checked all the other prices. I know where I'm going. I don't need to examine the whole mall and every store to do. I already done my comparison shopping. So I'm not sorrowful. I don't get buyer's remorse. I know what I'm getting. Trying to get something quality. I'm trying to get it so that it will last. And I'm trying to get the best price. You know, let me go to the next point, and I'll give you this point. Thirdly, give generously because God loves this kind of generosity. God loves it when you and I are generous. I'm in the Bible. The Bible says that this part B of verse 7. He says, "For God loves the person who gives cheerfully." I've been in some churches when they said it's time for the offering, and they broke out dancing and shouting and celebrating. Why? Because they had the opportunity to give back to God a portion of what he's entrusted into their care. They're shouting because they know that it's from God's hand that they have what they have anyway. They weren't stingy about it. They were ready to give back to God what God had blessed them with. So when the pastor said, it's time for the offering, they just broke out in celebration. That's cheerful giving. You know, I've been there, you know, when I was in the pew, you know, the thought always come to your mind that all the preacher want is your money. Anybody ever thought that? Can we be honest? Yeah. All the preacher want, because, see, the preacher was driving a nice car. He had a nice suit. Had a little bling bling. So it looked like that he was getting all the money, or she was getting all the money. But when we look at Scripture, we are challenged to give cheerfully, because that's who God loves. And I don't know about anybody else, but I want to be a person that God loves. And if he loves me when I give cheerfully, when I rejoice in giving to the cause of Christ to meet the needs of others, then that's who I want to be. I want to be a person that God loves. He loves generosity. He loves when we give, because we're most like him. Point four, principle four, give generously because God multiplies the opportunities for you to do good. God multiplies. Somebody say, God multiplies. Anybody know multiplication is better than addition? Amen. You can get to a bigger number a lot quicker through multiplication than you can with addition. And God, the text tells us that when we give, God multiplies the opportunities for you to do good. What am I saying? God says that if you are not giving under pressure because you prayed about it and you got a release to give, when you're giving cheerfully because you know that's what God loves, it also opens up the opportunity for God to give you more opportunities for him to bless you so that you can be a blessing. I think I can, if I go back to last week's verse in Deuteronomy, it says, every time you give to the poor, God blesses whatever you do. So this text reminds us, and God will generously provide all that you need. Is that what it takes to all you need? Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. That's a shout right there. When God sees how generous you are, when God knows that he can trust you with the blessings of heaven, he said, when I'm going to pour out these blessings on you, I'm going to pour them out on you because I know that you're going to share with others. But if you're stingy, and you got a stingy spirit, he says, I can't trust you like that. Because what we do oftentimes, we get our check and then we give God a tip. Yeah. Anybody ever go out and eat? Sometimes when we go out and eat, they give you the opportunity to give the tip. And if the waitress is real good, you want to be generous. But if she's been real good and you just throw a dollar up there, she said, well, I broke my... Because many times some of these people, that's all the money they get. They don't even get no minimum wage. And we throw a dollar tip and they didn't work and you didn't have them change the order and you had them run back and forth and they almost fallen and then you might have got little, well, pray for not no Christian people wouldn't get snappy with them, but you ever seen people get snappy with people when they order wrong? I ain't order this. Oh, I'm sorry. You know, and then you take them through all that, then you give them a dollar tip because somebody got it wrong. Somebody brought a wrong order or something didn't go right. See, sometimes that's how we treat God. As good as God is to us. I said as good as God is to us. Oh, I'm not talking to the right people. I said as good as God is to us. We keep tipping him with a dollar here. And No. That's why I don't mind giving to God, because God multiplies the opportunities for me to do good. Look what the text says. When God will generously provide all that you need. What do you need? What you gonna wear? Where you gonna sleep? What you gonna eat? Where you gonna work? God will keep providing, keep blessing. That's what we were saying this morning. God just keep on blessing me over and over and over again. But notice how he blesses you. He blesses you to the point. He multiplies the blessings so that you have some left over. Not so that you can go in the corner. Now, this is how I can help somebody. Let me show you how to help somebody. We talk about at Kingdom Harvest the 10-10-80 plan. Anybody ever heard the 10-10-80 plan? Yeah. Or you can do the 10-10-10-70 plan. Okay, let me start with the 10-10-80 plan. 10% to God, 10% to savings. You live off 80%. Or 10% to God, 10% to savings, 10% to investing, you live off 70%. Okay, I ain't getting no amens there. But notice, God says, God has a plan to bless your life. Now, I know they said we give 10%, but God says, but you should also be a good steward. One of the things that Dave Ramsey and other financial gurus says that you should always give to the things of Christ or to your charitable donation. He says, I'm a Christian. Because I'm a Christian, I give 10%. But he says, or if you're not a Christian, you give 10% to your charitable whatever. But save 10%. He said, you don't eat all your bread. And sometimes we eat our bread. We eat our bread, and sometimes we eat our seed. That's what the sowing, what sowing is. It's our seed. So he says, don't eat your seed, so that way you always have everything you need and some left over. Anybody want anything left over? You don't want to have 15 days in the month and don't know. Anybody been there? I've been there. Amen. And you get to the 15th, you say, Lord have mercy, something happened. And he said, as the scripture says, God, godly people give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will never be forgotten. For God is the one who gives the seed to the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will give you many opportunities. Somebody say many opportunities to do good, and he will produce a great harvest of generosity in you. In other words, he says, just like he will give you all that you need, he says he will also give you multiple opportunities. He will multiply the opportunities for you to do good. And the more good you do, the more God will bless you. The more good you do, God will bless you. That's why he keeps blessing you over and over and over again, because he can trust you. Why will he trust you? Because he knows that if he bless you, you're going to be a blessing to somebody else. Can anybody get with that?
Amen.
Amen. Last principle, and I'm out of here. Give generously because it increases the opportunity for God to get praise. I know sometimes we try to, God not going to take share his glory with anybody. In other words, just because God has blessed you and he's increased you, he don't want you to get the big head and think that you're the one that did it.
Yeah.
No, the Bible says he is the one that has given you the power to get wealth. Yeah. He empowers your body. And I know the alarm clock may go off, but he empowers you to get up. Amen. Yeah. There's some folk, alarm clock went off and it didn't mean a thing. Yeah. They were not able to move, not able to talk. That's why sometimes I can't even hardly sleep at night, because I'm so excited about another day that the Lord has given me. Do I have any witnesses in here? I don't know how the Lord going to bless me in this day, but I know if he blessed me, it's because he got more than me in mind. He got somebody that he wants me to bless. He wants somebody. He's going to last week, I told him, and he'll show you who the poor is. He'll show you who it is that he wants you to bless. And when you bless them, the Lord gives another opportunity to not only for you to be blessed, but more importantly, for God to be praised. Let me get down here to verse number 11. He said, yes, you will be enriched so that you can even give more generously. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will break out and thank, oh, Jesus, right here at Thanksgiving time. Look, they're going to break out thanking God. You said, but I'm the one that brought you, but fool, I mean, excuse me, person, don't you know that God put it in your heart to give? God bless you so that you will be a channel of blessing, so that somebody will give thanks to God. Somebody could even give thanks to God, because they didn't know how they were going to eat. They didn't know where they were going to live. But because of the blessing that you gave, they started, the first thing that came out of their mouth was a praise to God. Hallelujah. That's what we want. We want people to see God. In other words, it's God's heart and our hands. In other words, when we sense and pray, God, what is your will? How do I walk? How do I move? How do I bless in my community? How do I bless on my job? How do I bless in the neighborhood, in the state? How do you want to work through me in my generosity? Verse 12, and two good things will happen. The needs of Christians in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanksgiving to God. Can I pause right there, because I forgot to give you the backdrop of what this text is all about. I apologize, but let me do it real quick. Paul had already told, was thanking them in the beginning, or had talked about the Macedonians and the fact that they were in need. And when he let this church at Corinth know that the Macedonians were in need, they joyously says, we're going to collect an offering. But in the beginning of chapter 9, he says, I want you to get ready so that when I send the folk to come collect the offering, you don't find yourself unprepared. I know you spoke real fast and said that you were going to give, but I want you to be ready. And then he goes into the narrative about the farmer, about the generosity and how God meets your needs and how God puts it in your heart, and God will, if you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. If you reap so bountifully, you will reap a bountiful harvest. He was saying all those things, but he was saying all of that to let them know that when you do all that you were supposed to do, then God will get the glory. God will get the praise. Thanksgiving will break out with the folk who don't know God and the folk who know God, the saints and the angels. Everybody gonna open their mouth and give God praise. Verse 13, and you will be glorifying God through your generous gifts. So when we give, we are giving God glory through our giving. For your generosity to them will provide that you are obedient to the good news of God. In other words, when you and I are giving, it's because we are being obedient to the word of God. And then verse 14, and they will pray for you. Oh Lord, can I stop right there? He said they were going to pray for us because we gave to them. Amen. Oh, I wish I had some witnesses here, somebody. When you don't even know how you're going to get through your next situation, because you gave, somebody will open up their mouth and pray to God on your behalf. Even when you don't even know what to pray for, somebody else will be taking your petitions before God on your behalf. But look what he says, they will pray for you with deep affection because of the wonderful grace of God shown through you. Thank God for his son, a gift too wonderful for words. What am I saying? Many people, went Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and probably going some more today and Monday. Seeking deals. Seeking the best deal on TVs. How much TV can you look at? I mean, TVs and cars. And you see the commercial where the person shows up, he got his arm full of gifts, and he got a black eye. I got there early. I got it at 4 o'clock in the morning. I mean, I don't want that. That ain't no blessing to me that I got to end up looking like I got been in a fight to get no gifts. But then the guy said, well, I got up late, but, you know, and looked around and showed him the bill that he got. I think that's how God wants us to respond. He says, look, I've given you, when you give, you it's because of the best gift that you can ever receive in your life. Do I have any witnesses in there? He says, this gift is too wonderful for words. You can't even describe how good Jesus is to you. Sometimes you can't even begin to, I can't even put it to words. Sometimes all you can say is Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. All the praise, all the glory, all the honor is to the gift that is so wonderful. Words cannot express how thankful I am to the one that God gave. And his name is Jesus. And so in this after Thanksgiving flow, God is saying to you and I know we're preparing for Christmas. I know we're preparing to, to really, really go deep. If we didn't do it Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we're getting ready to go in now. Some people really go in at Christmas time. Do I have any witnesses? It may not be y'all, but y'all know some folk who's serious about Christmas. There'll be some people out there on Christmas Eve going deep. They said, why you wait till last? I just like the excitement of being out here on the last day. Ain't nothing on the shelf. They didn't sold everything. But God is saying, as you prepare for Christmas, don't forget about the one who's been so generous to you. He's blessed you so that you can be a blessing. I don't know about you, but once God put it in my heart that he loves a cheerful giver. One, did I share that verse about what a one who is prompt to give? Did I share that? I don't know if I did. I think I skipped right over that. God loves a cheerful giver. Maybe I did say it. Okay. Yeah. 7b says, of Amplified Version, for God loves, he takes pleasure in, prize above other things, and is unwilling to abandon or to do without. Oh, God. Thank you, Jesus. He loves. This is the meaning. The Amplified gives you a more expanded version. For God loves, he takes pleasure in. This is what God's love looks like. He takes pleasure in, prize above other things, and is unwilling to abandon or do without. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You take pleasure and you prize me above everything else. And you are unwilling to abandon me and to do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it giver whose heart is in giving. In other words, nobody is making you give, but it is in your heart because you realize how much God loves you. And if he loves you that much, how much will you love him back? And it starts, I think, with the verse, very first message in the suit, giving yourself. Yeah. And now let me close with this story. Some of y'all probably seen this story that a guy who'd never been saved before was getting ready to get baptized. And the pastor told him, said that when you go under this water, everything that goes under this water is going to belong to God. And so it's a cartoon, and the second cartoon has the illustration of the man holding a fistful of money above as he getting ready to go under. Prayerfully, you and I won't be like this man, that we think that our money, which is part of who we are and part of what God empowers us to get, doesn't belong to God. Because the earth on a thousand hills belong to God. The earth and all those who dwell within. The cattle on 1,000 hills. The earth and all those who dwell within. We all belong to God. Tell your neighbor, it all belongs to him. And when we live generously, we are living like our Father, who loved us so much that he gave his best. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for